You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Texas Rangers. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by a colleague, my friend T.R. Sullivan of MLB.com. T.R., a couple of positive things that have come up with the Rangers in the last few days. First of all, I wanted to ask you, what style differences do you notice in Tim Bogar managing rather than Ron Washington?
Not a whole lot. Personality-wise, there's some similarities. I think Tim is going to be a little bit more low-key than Ron. Ron, of course, very passionate, very enthusiastic, very outgoing. I mean, obviously, Tim Bogart is going to be passionate and enthusiastic, but I think he'll be a little more low-key. It's kind of funny, though. Last night, Rangers and the Angels, Rangers got two runners on base in an inning, and they had their number six batter bunt. And, you know, thought that was kind of interesting because Ron Washington was always accused of bunting too much, and here was Tim Bogart doing the same thing that Ron would have done. So I thought that was interesting. You know, right now this is a team that has to scratch and manufacture for runs, so they're going to have to do everything they can, like that bunt, hit and run, all those neat things. So I don't think you'll see a whole lot of change right there.
Do you think when John Daniels starts to look for a manager, or I guess he's already looking, do you think that Mike Maddox, the pitching coach, and Bogar are at the top of his list, or serious contenders for the job, both of them, or just one of them?
Well, I think Bogar is definitely going to be a contender for the job. I think that's part of the reason why he was the interim manager. Mike Maddox is very highly regarded as a pitching coach, a little bit unknown as far as his managerial skills. I think the big factor when they go to hire managers, they're going to look for somebody who can handle young players, a good teacher, good leader of young players, because this is a team that's going to have to go with a lot of young players next year. I think you're going to see them, guys like Rougned Odor and Profar and Sardinas and Michael Choice, and a lot of these young kids are going to have to play a big part in this team. So I think the big factor when they go to look for a manager, they want somebody who can handle the young kids and be a good teacher, a good motivator, and good mentor.
I know being 36 games under 500 is not where they wanted to be, but it would seem to me that all things considered, when you look at where Leonis Martinez come, where Odor has done, Nick Martinez, Nick Tepish, I would think they would say, hey, you know, we do have some depth in the system here. We have a chance to keep this thing going if we just get our main guys back on the field next year. Do you think they look at it that way?
I think it's just a matter of how far you're going to go with the young players. Now, take the rotation, for example. You got Yu Darvish and you got Derek Collins. You got two veterans who could head the rotation. So, you know, do you want to go with Nick Tepish, Nick Martinez, and another young guy, or do you want to add a veteran and go with two of those young guys? Or do you want to add two veterans to go with one young guy? Just a matter of how far they want to commit to something like that. You know, with a catcher like Robinson Chirinos, do you go every day, or do you get a part-time guy to help him out? Or do you get a full-time veteran to take over? You know, Michael Choice, do you give him the everyday right field job, or do you sign a veteran who could be an insurance or a platoon partner? I mean, just a lot of this could depend, you know, how much. They're going to go with young players. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how much they're going to commit to them, and how much they're going to put a safety net under them or insurance, if you know what I mean. You know, how much they're going to cover themselves with veteran assurance as opposed to going with the young guys.
And, T.R., do you think they've seen enough, that John and others have seen enough of Neftali Feliz to think, okay, in 2015, this guy is our closer, or are there still questions about whether he can stay healthy?
I think they're not too worried about him staying healthy. I think they're worried about, you know, is he going to be able to get the job done, not throwing 98 miles an hour every night? You know, can he pitch his way to a save rather than just blowing it by hitters? And, you know, again, it's the same thing. Do you go into next season with Neftali Feliz as your closer, or do you assign a guy like for insurance? You know, I'm just throwing out a name, like a guy like Kyle Farnsworth who's done it before, or LaTorre Hockett, just, you know, a veteran of that who, you know, if he's not the closer, then he can be the setup reliever. But if your closer falters, they can move into the closer's role. It's kind of like they did this year with Joaquin Soria. You know, they kind of went into spring training hoping Feliz would be the closer, but when he wasn't ready to do it, they were able to go with Soria, and he was able able to do the job for 4 months, and then they ended up making a good trade for him. So, I think that's a big thing.
And LaTroy Hawkins, I guess he lives right there close to the ballpark, right? So he'd probably be amenable to coming back to pitching at home. Colby Lewis, it seems like I ask you this question every week. If you had a bet, would you bet he'd be on the staff opening day next year?
I would bet that he'll be in spring training next year. That's as far as I'd be willing to go. I think he'll be in spring training.
Okay.
You look at Colby and he's pitching well, and, you know, again, you know, just you want to commit to a guy who's coming off hip surgery, he's got a 5.5 ERA, who's pitched better lately, who, you know, maybe next year he gets a lot more run support, he has a better defense, you know, has a little better bullpen. Or do you think, well, you know, Colby might be able to do it, but we got to have somebody behind him, or, you know, cover yourself with veterans like a Joe Saunders or a Tommy Hansen, or, you know, like they did this year, or, you know, what teams did. You know, the Mariners have had great success with Chris Young, you know, something like that.
And what you've seen of Derek Holland, it looks like, you feel like he's completely recovered and that he'll be good to go if he stays healthy on opening day next year?
Yeah, I mean, again, with Derek Holland, it was the knee, it was not the arm. That's the big difference with him as opposed to, you know, Matt Harrison's dealing with the back, and Colby had to come back and flex a tendon. You know, Derek had a knee injury. The knee is healthy, and he's throwing the ball well. You know, I think you have a really good feeling. You know, when Derek Holland's been healthy, he's been a very good pitcher. So I think that with the knee recovered, then he's going to be fine.
You know, it's John Daniels has a lot of work to do in the next few months. Given his history, he's up to it. Appreciate your stopping by, TR. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.